Blog Talk Radio.
And there's a measure of harm in everything that Allah created. What determines what we experience of the measure, of the qadr, is how we approach it. And what determines how we approach it? What we know about it, right? And see, you can spend a lot of time there trying to understand that in the context of where Allah says, approach not this tree. Approach not this tree. So if you're talking about reasoning now, right? If you take the statement in the Quran where Allah says, and approach not this tree, right? And then in the Quran, which is what we're just reading, and with the explanation of the beliefs of Islam, where it says, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقَ. Okay, so God is saying, yeah, you know what? There is some potential harm in everything that I created. If you stay in touch with my guidance, then I will protect you from the potential harm. But because I've given you free will, you can go there. It's not going to be good for you. So if you give your will to me and you resign your choices to be the choices that I have dictated for you, then you won't run into harm and transgression. But if you approach this tree, you know, it's going to be tough. All right? So in terms of, since the qadr, how do you get the benefit of what Allah has created and not the harm, the potential harm in what Allah has created, then you have to follow the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what I'm saying is that you look at Adam and his wife, et cetera, and them finally going on and approaching the tree in the way that they did, and then they fell into harm and transgression as promised, it has to do with approaching anything in creation in the wrong way. It has to do with approach. It's not just some physical tree or some abstract tree only in some particular location in the deep history of the life of creation. No, it's anything. It's anything. Your shoes can be that tree. Your car, your house can be that. Your wife, your husband can be that tree. What? How could it be that tree? Something that you approach in the wrong way. And when you approach it in the wrong way, you don't get the khair, you get the shar. So you'll fall out of a state of satisfaction that you might have been in the moment before in connection with that thing. But because you approached it the wrong way, then a taste of hell, the loss of the state of felicity that you may have been in regarding that. And it goes us. So you can see the potential, the shar in everything comes from approaching whatever it is in the wrong way. And so if you follow the guidance of Allah and the adab, I got to throw that in now, the adab has to do with understanding and respecting the right relationships between everything. That's really what adab is, where it's like the right relationship between you and money, between you and power, between you and people, between you and your leader, between you and your boss, secular boss, between you and your wife, you and your children, da da da. There are boundaries, there's borders, there's orders, there's right ways, there's wrong ways. The adab is about knowing that, all right? And that's what education is, ta'adib. So when you get that education and follow that guidance, then your life can be good. But whenever we fall or run afoul of those boundaries, the way that there's what the Quran tells us about transgressing the bounds, right? So when you transgress, well, that's where the hell comes from. What's the bound? The bounds of what? Father and daughter, okay? It's like, okay, what's the bounds? Are you respecting the bounds? Disrespect, hell comes after that. Et cetera, et cetera. It just goes all around. Okay, so let's move back on that. Going back to the imam. So that commentary sort of came out of when the imam was speaking about He was conscious of his taqwa, his obedience to God. That was the greatest influence in him. And that's how we all start. All a part of this, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ, human being being created in the most excellent mold. The most excellent mold that we originated in, putting it in the frame of Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam, the nature of the human being, it's like we were in the mold of obedience to Allah's will. We were in the mold of being filled with the knowledge of the nature of all things and aligning ourselves with it. That's the ahsan al-taqweem. ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ السَّافِلِينَ. You should be able to see how even in that surah, surah 95, in that set of verses, وَالتِّينِ وَزَيْتُونَ وَطُورِ سِنِينَ, okay, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ السَّافِلِينَ. So you should see that there's some overlap between what happened with Adam being formed and shaped and then the fall, quote-unquote, of Adam. The Quran corrects that. The language that's used is slip. This world tells us fall. And this is why the seasons of the year in this world, you have two terms for fall. One of them is autumn. Now, if you can't see Adam in autumn, and autumn is also called the fall, and what's the other word for summer? What's the other word for winter? What's the other word for spring? You don't have one. Why, we got two words for fall, and one is fall and the other is autumn. Come on now. That's the language of Imam Wahdati Muhammad. He said the language of Imam Wahdati Muhammad is a way of reading. And so you have to see what the symbol is, see what the code is, and read what is being said in the code. Right? Yeah, and you can spend a lot of time going, oh, when does this start, when does that stop, and all the rest of it. We're not going to do that. All right, let's keep going. All right, what does it say here? But then the Satan came, and he put allurements in the path to attract man's attention to the appeal of the world, and that's what caused him to get in a situation where he could have his rational life undermined by Satan. All right. Okay. Let me see if I can find this. Okay, so let's go to 1539, and I'll see if I can find the other piece that I'm looking for. So in 1539, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, says, قال ربي بما أغويتني لا أزينن لهم في الأرض ولا أغوينا ولا أغوينهم. Say that fast 10 times. ولا أغوينهم أجمعين. Let's read it again. قال ربي بما أغويتني لا أزينن لهم في الأرض ولا أغوينهم أجمعين. صدق الله العظيم. Now, an expression of it from the Sahih International says, Iblis said, this is Iblis now, after disobeying Allah's order to bow, Iblis said, my Lord, because you have put me in error, I will surely make disobedience attractive to them on earth, and I will mislead them all. All right. So, this is speaking to, this is the transitional moment from Iblis to Shaitan, and Iblis was a jinn. We have a real big story that we're going to have to go back to the jinn. We'll get back to it and talk about it, but at this point, since we're just entering the Imam's answer, Iblis comes up first, because the language right here, and you can find it in many places in the Quran, this zayyana as a root term. It says, so here's Satan. First part of it, you can see the blame game starting. So one of the ways that you can also see Satan is you have to see all the blaming that's going on. It ain't my fault, it's his fault. You really see it in the Bible, right? You say, well, who told you were naked, right? And the rest of the story, Eve self blamed the snake. I don't know, what is it? The snake blamed the woman blamed the man, or the man blamed the woman, and the woman blamed the snake. MashaAllah. So it's the whole blame game. So you should also see that that's from Shaitan. If you're always trying to find whose fault it is, who's to blame for something, and especially if you're trying to find someone to blame other than yourself, when in fact you're at the center of what's the question, well, you take a deeper look, you'll find Shaitan lurking in that whole process. Okay, it says, قَالَ رَبِّي بِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي, because you have put me in error. Because you have put me in error, I will make alluring to them. I will make beautiful to them. And so the expression that's given by Sahih International is that I will make disobedience attractive. Well, the Imam points out that the original nature, obedience is our proclivity. Obedience is where we are by nature, right? But now he's going to make wrongdoing, that is obedience to wrongdoing, he's going to make that attractive. Okay, this is wrong, but I'm going to make this wrong seem beautiful in your eyes. That's the world we live in right now. That's the world we live in right now. They make movies, they do whatever things they do. They make music, all these kind of things, all designed to make disobedience in some form attractive. Oh, let's do it. Oh, here's one comes to mind right now. Just this stupid, this jackass, whatever jackass is. Look it up if you want to. All right, Stevie Knoxville or something like that. It's like, just look at that. When you say, don't look at that. I mean, all you got to do, I'm not going to the movie. I wouldn't invite anybody to go to the movie, blah, blah, blah. Just find the trailer for Jackass the Return or something like that. Crazy. And this is something in someone who have millions of people following and imitating what they're doing. Craziness. The bird box thing, that thing, that was absolutely so insane. But let's move away. But see, that had to do with the very fact that they call it the bird box. You know when they had the ice bucket challenge and then the mannequin challenge. They give this stuff to this world because they say, we know you are idiots, and we know that whatever we make popular, that's what you're going to be attracted to do. And it's just insane. But this world, that kind of behavior is made attractive. It's made attractive. Right? You know? All the stuff, the alphabet community, all that stuff they got going on, make disobedience attractive. Well, see, that's Shaitan. That's what he does. But how does he do it? As the Imam is pointing out here, he undermines the rational life. When you undermine the rational life, then that's a problem. I'm looking for where the Quran said, I thought I could get to it quickly. Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. All right, 7201. 7, that is Surah Al-A'raf, 201, verse 201. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. It says, Inna al-ladhina taqa. So this is taqwa, right? Inna al-ladhina taqa. Iza masahum ta'ifum min ash-shaytani. Tazkaru. Yes, tazakkaru. فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ We read it again. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَقَى إِذَا مَسَاهُمْ طَاعِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ صدق الله العظيم. Alright, an expression of this is, surely those who have the proper regard for Allah, that is God consciousness, short version. When a thought of evil, this ta'ifum min ash-shaytan, ta'ifum min ash-shaytan, when a thought of evil from Satan is thrown at them, the expression goes on to say, is thrown at them, tazakkaru, they make dhikr. They think, they remind, they don't lose their mind. They have a mind guided and riding upon taqwa, right? Tazakkaru, fa'idha hum mubsirun. Then, when they think with God consciousness, then automatically they see. And this is what the verse says. It says, they remember Allah, they think on Allah, they think in the manner that Allah has ordered for them, and then they see clearly. They see clearly. This is 7201. But let's go take a step back where it says, ta'ifun min ash-shaytan. This ta'ifun min ash-shaytan is the same, the word ta'ifun is the same root. That is, it's the root, or it's from the same root as tawaf. Tawaf. Tawaf is what? When you make the circumambulation around the Quran. The Quran. Around the Kaaba. Right? But it's a ta'ifum. Allahu Akbar. You don't want to be doing the tawaf of shaitan. You don't want to do the tawaf of shaitan. It's the a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. The tawaf of shaitan, he'll just have you just going around and around in circles. Just like the imam, he tells us about the pendulum swoop of this society and the manipulation, the covert manipulation of society. TikTok. Hello? TikTok. There's manipulating society. All you just do the same thing over and over again. Just do the same thing over and over again. And you're spending your life, your time, your money, your emotions. You're pouring yourself into that. What's that? In the manner that we're describing, if whatever you're projecting or promoting and following, and even wasting. You know, there's a saying where it says, I learned this from my brother, Qasim. It says, Ra'asu Qaslan is Bayitul Shaytan. Ra'asu Qaslan is Bayitul Shaytan. What is it? The head of the lazy man is the house of Shaytan. Right? So if Kaaba is Baytullah, and if Shaitan got you doing tawaf, it's probably around a dumb head. It just keep you going around, a dumb head, a lazy head. So either way, the point is unnatural evil rationale, brother and sister. There's some places that you can go on these website. My invitation is never to such. But there's some places you can go online, and they are philosophical sites. You know, there are people talking about science. You'll get to sites where they'll tell you consciousness is not real. Mind is not real. That creation has no purpose. God is not real. Yeah, you got hope. You got millions who are identified in and with ideas as such. And that's just scratching the very surface of it. And you, if you know, if you dare, you know, you can listen to some of them, and if you don't have the equipment, you're going to get shook. You're going to get shook. If you don't have the knowledge to be able to answer to the questions that they raise, and you don't have the way of thinking, meaning you don't have the thinking tools to be able to unravel, if necessary, to unravel. When I say if necessary, it's sort of like some things you say, man, I ain't even got time. I ain't trying to untangle that. I ain't got time for that. I'll show you something right here. This is some of you UKC blog talk. This is these earphones, right? And just over time and use it, moving here and moving there, and just, you know, just using what's necessary of it in terms of, it's like, you know, you got all kind of entanglement here, right? So now, you know, when it becomes important, okay, I'll take time to untangle that. But as long as it's not important, man, I'm not going to spend no time doing that. I can spend my time doing something else. Okay, well, this is what this world does. What this world does, they'll throw a question at you. They'll throw a controversy at you. This is, I don't know which one of the broadcasts we focus on this on. I think it may be the Wednesday broadcast, the one where we speak of how they, the dialectics that they use in this world. What they do is they create a problem, create camps of opposition for the problem, and then manipulate both camps with the way that they manipulate them, media outlets especially, where they, basically, this is my language because you know this language, you say, you know, you want to let them say that about your mama? You know, so that's all designed to get the reds to fight with the blues, and then the blues to react to the reds, and blah, blah, blah. And that's on everything. I don't care. You can talk about COVID. You can talk about filibuster. You can talk about, you know, wealth and poverty, or crypto versus fiat, or whatever. They just set up camps. And so you're making tawaf. You're confused. You're wondering and wondering. You're wondering, and so because you can't answer the question that they put to your head, and if you don't have the wherewithal to answer that question, then it is like a virus in that it's like, man, I got that bug now. I can't get that question out of my mind. I don't know what the answer is. My heart is troubled by it. You're wondering, right? That's the touch of Shaitan. That's the touch of Shaitan. But where's the Muslim reply? The Muslim reply is what the Quran has said. It said, those who have taqwa, when such a thought comes into their mind, they use dhikr. And I'm not saying, sit out, okay, subhanAllah, 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 subhanAllah. I'm not saying that. Know how to think in the way that Allah ordered your thinking. Learn how to think rationally, naturally, logically, upon the proper foundations, upon the proper source material, reasoning, garbage in, garbage out. You got to know what's important, what's not important. You have certain things you have to understand that, as we already said, you know, okay, I may not be able to prove something to you, but it doesn't change the fact that it's true. You can't prove that Allah exists in the way that people expect you to prove whatever, that this is that this water is boiling because it's so many degrees Fahrenheit. You know, that kind of concrete, measurable thing is it. So this is why the beliefs of Al-Islam, they're called the beliefs of Al-Islam because either you believe it or you don't. That's the bottom line. It's like there's no rational proof for none of that. There's sufficient information that can infer and satisfy the hearts of those who are already inclined to believe it. But from a scientific, quote-unquote, material science perspective, you can't prove the existence of God. From a material science, listen, Muslim believer, you already believe. So I say you can't, what are you talking about you can't prove? You talk to somebody who don't believe in God. Right? Don't spend your time doing that. Forget about that. What I'm trying to get back to is this. That angels, no scientific proof. The Qadr, no scientific proof. The prophets, no scientific proof. The books, no scientific proof. Life after death, no scientific proof. Do you believe it? You believe it? Fine. Then that's the world that you walk with. Those are your glasses. All right? That's your consciousness. That's your mind. So when whatever happens on Capitol Hill, I don't look at it through the Marxist lens or through the capitalist lens. I look at it through the Islamic lens. What does it say about Islam? And broader even from that perspective, which is incorporated in the Islamic lens, is like, okay, what is the will of God? And how does this relate to the will of God for humanity? Right? What does the Quran tell me specifically? And what does the Prophet tell me explicitly? And what does his life tell me explicitly as to how I should judge whatever's in front of me? It doesn't matter where it's happening, how it's happening, who's doing it. The Quran and the life model of Prophet Muhammad is Al-Furqan. It is the criteria of judgment. And my own heart is also that. Okay. So let's move back a little bit, and we're gonna wind up. Okay, so where are we? It says, "Qala Rabbi," okay, because you, I'll make attractive to them. I'll make attractive to them what is in the earth that is disobedience attractive to them on the earth. And excuse me, and I will mislead them, meaning that, you know, they're going to be in error. I'm going to put them in error too. I'm going to put all of them in error as well. All right. So where's the main locus of the work of the shaitan? Getting you to see things in the wrong way. Oh, he told you you don't like that. That's one up. What? You know, So you, first you're seeing it in the way that Allah told you to see it. Don't approach that, right? But then something comes into you that changes the way you see the thing that Allah told you to stay away from and told you what it was. But then somebody else changes your mind and thereby changes your vision and therefore changes your evaluation. And then now you behave in a way opposite to the way that you have been instructed. So that's literally, Shaitan does that. Shaitan does that. And so it is the shaitan that makes disobedience alluring. And so the decorated path to hell is such because the eyes of the one who is on that path is being led to see something that's bad for them as good. There's this movie, The Last Witch Hunter, Vin Diesel. Last Witch Hunter. There's a scene in there where there's a little boy, and then there are gummy bears, and somebody, you know, have left gummy bears out there, and then he just keeps following the gummy bears, eating the gummy bears, and it finally goes into this yard where it's a giant tree of gummy bears, and then the gummy bears all over the ground, and the boy is just, you know, really sitting there gobbling, and then when Vin Diesel's character comes in, then he breaks the spell, he breaks the illusion, and you can see that it's just, you know, crap. You know, it's like maggots and, you know, deathly trees and barren ground and darkness and the like. And so the illusion was broken for the boy when he came. But the illusion, the spell, language again, the spell had been cast in such a way as to make something that's ugly seem to be beautiful and attractive. All that is a statement of what the Imam is explaining and how Shaitan does what he does. So what is the main thing that Shaitan does? He changes your perception. He changes your perception. He changes your value. He changes your viewpoint. You don't see, and this is why in 7201 it says the ones who think right, who correct their thinking, then they're the ones that see straight. So what about the others? They keep wandering and keep wondering. And you can ask yourself, for example, Auzubillah, and I make dua for you if this is your situation. It's like, are there some things that you're wondering about that maybe they're true, maybe they're not true about al-Islam. Well, why are you wondering? Why are you wondering? As long as you're wondering, you're wandering. And this is Ta'if from Minashayatan. How can this be? If God is blah, 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 how can that be? Who's asking that question? In so many ways, you have to check your own heart. Allahu alam. There's a certain way of asking questions, as did Abraham. How will the resurrection be? It has to start from a position of belief. Belief has to be in the heart already. Then you go from that perspective. But then there are questions that are not grounded in a faithful heart. And the prophet, and when that's not, well, the prophet vis-a-vis the receipt of the Quran, where it says that ask not questions, the answer which may cause you trouble. He says some people before that time did ask such questions, and because of that, they lost their faith. He said, but if you ask the question while the Quran is being revealed, God will guide you right. Must be time to go, my throat's drying out on me. So let's go ahead. Let's go ahead and wind up today for that. I mean, let me take a few minutes, but we're going to cut out right at the bottom of the hour. If that's what makes sense under the circumstance, that's what we'll do. So Blog Talk, punch one on your phone if you have a question or comment you want to make, and anybody online, if you're on YouTube or you're on...
الحمد لله رب العالمين وبسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. Brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi ta'ala wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah, thank you for joining us this morning and afternoon, wherever you may be, for Quran Salat Institute. We continue on the topic, the jinn, Iblis, Shaitan, and the Taghut. And obviously we got to get down that whole schema in order to get to the end of it. Where is the end? I don't know. Allahu alam. So we, Allah give us life and whatever, the wherewithal to continue on, and we'll do it. I know that you understand it. Now, I'm going to hit you with a little cryptic point, literally and figuratively, right quick, as we move on. Inshallah, we're going to leave time at the end of the broadcast for your comments, your feedback, your input, your need for clarification, you know, your ability to add to the conversation. Inshallah, that's going to happen. But I got to drop a little piece here for my Monday folks. I'm going to put it like that. I'm going to put it for my Monday folks. And I mean, the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I've seen and that I'm experiencing from this, and the understanding that comes. I gotta give a hint to somebody. This is a Bitcoin conversation. I'm gonna tell you, this is Bitcoin that we're talking about right here. Now, somebody know what I'm saying? This is Bitcoin 2013. If you don't know, I can't help you. Mashallah. But take this conversation, take this subject matter. It's Bitcoin 2013. That's my analogy for right now. Let's get right on into it. So you just heard the last half hour of last week's class, and so I'm going to go ahead and, inshallah, when we get to that point, which is going to be very shortly, inshallah, I'm going to share a screen, so it's going to be, let's call it a technical attempt on my part. Maybe it's easier than that, easier than I'm sensing. But, you know, technology can leave you in alert sometimes if you're not beyond the learning curve, but enough of that. All right, so we're talking about the jinn, Iblis, Shaitan, and the Taghut. That's the path that we're on. We went through a lot to cover the explanation of how Imam Muhammad rahimahullah interprets, translates, expresses the hadith ascribed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in and of itself sound, so as far as the language of the veracity of a hadith is concerned. And the Imam was asked a question about that hadith, about hadith Allah showing Jibreel heaven and hell before and after. That's my abbreviation of it, and Jibreel's response in both cases. And so we are now, having done that for X number of weeks, we're into Imam Muhammad's statement of expression of what that hadith is about. And so I will read up to what we did cover of the Imam's response, and then, inshallah, go to the information that we want to amplify today. So the Imam, in answering the question, was this Allah or was this something else? That I'm just abbreviating the question now. If you want to get the actual question, then go back to the previous broadcast, either on Facebook, YouTube, or Blog Talk Radio, and you can get that. But I'm going to go on so we can save some time and get to the new material. It says, the Imam said, no, it came from the devil, Satan. It says that Satan made alluring to them. He puts the allurements in that. He makes the allurements. Not that it didn't have attractiveness before, but man obviously was not. He was not influenced by the Zinun of the creation. And we referenced the 15th chapter, 39th verse of the Quran. We just added that in there, and that's where the Shaitan says, when Shaitan says, "My Lord, because you have put me in the wrong, I will surely make disobedience attractive to them on the earth, and I will mislead them all." So this is Iblis in his transition from just being a jinn and Iblis to becoming Shaitan. That was his statement. And so he's saying that man, it wasn't that potential, that attractiveness was not there, but man wasn't influenced by it. Now, back to the Imam's quote explicitly, he said, but he was influenced by obedience. His, meaning the human being, his influence was obedience. He was conscious of his taqwa, obedience to God. That was the greatest influence in him, not the attraction of the world that God had made, although God had made the world beautiful. But then the Satan came and he put allurements in the path to attract man's attention to the appeal of the world. Meaning, I want to distract you from just obedience. Now I want to distract you with another attraction. All right? So allurements in the path to attract man's attention to the appeal of the world, that is the zinun, right? The allurements. I want, don't look over there, look over here. It's a shaitan. Attract man's attention to the appeal of the world, cause him to get in a situation, speaking of man, cause him to get in a situation where he could have his rational life undermined by Satan. That's a big point. And this is the last thing before we go on to elaborate more on that. But as Shaitan, by changing direction of his attention, put his focus on something other than obedience, and that provided the opportunity for Shaitan to undermine his rational life. Next sentence in the Imam's quote. This is all from February 25, 1995, Ramadan Imam's session in Athens, Georgia, February 25, 1995. So the next sentence from where it says him, it caused him to get in a situation where he could have his rational life undermined by Satan. That's what Satan actually did. He undermined the man's rational basis. He destroyed the man's rational basis by leading him to, the Imam says, rational lies, right? But put that word together, and it's nothing. The Imam is absolutely cognizant of it, because early on when he told us about the snake represented rationalization. So it's not slung with, you know, like I discovered what the Imam didn't see. No, not at all. But he said, leading him to rational lies, meaning they're lies, but they're rational. And inside the single word, rationalize, that also points to the problem. The problem is rationalizing, right? You read in the Quran, so the believers are those who fall only into small fault, and then they don't justify themselves, right? So the Quran is telling you, don't rationalize. If it's wrong, call it wrong, right? Accept it as wrong. Ask for forgiveness, et cetera, et cetera. Don't rationalize. And that's also one of the ways you can interpret the biblical story, where it says when Adam and Eve recognized their nakedness and then they started taking leaves from the garden to cover their shame, right? That's a symbol of rationalization, rationalizing, right? To hide your shame, right? Oh, well, I did it because, you know, well, look, everybody else is doing it. What was I supposed to do? Whatever. Rationalize. You know, wrong is wrong. But in any case, that once Shaitan gets you off of the platform of obedience and causes you to follow an appetite, that is not consistent with what Allah has ordered for you, then he steps in to provide you the rationalization for what it is you're doing. Brothers and sisters, this is the world that we live in. We live in a world that Shaitan has dominated. All you got to do is just look at all the problems in the world. I mean, you can look at, I don't even need to list them. Just look at the headlines, and you can see Shaitan has to do with all of that. Shaitan has to do with all of that. But I say this even as I say that. وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَلَهُ خَيْرٌ مَكِرِينَ. They plan, Allah has already planned, and Allah is the best planner. So, all right, so let's deal with, we got the main thrust today. I want to share a picture, and we'll just let the conversation take off from there. So now I'm about to attempt something. You can attempt this at home, but have some idea about it. That is, I want to share screen, okay? So I'm using the StreamYard platform, right? And StreamYard is what allows us to do the Facebook and do the YouTube at the same time. So I've never shared the screen, but it's one of the functionalities to StreamYard allows. So let's see. Let's do it. So we'll learn together. Yeah? Okay, share screen. Okay, do I have the options? Let's see. So Windows, Word. She asked me, do I want to share the entire screen? No, I don't want to share the entire screen. Well, let's try. Let's see what happens. Oh, wait. Okay, let's see what happens. Okay, Chrome has lost permission to capture the screen. Follow these steps. Y'all hang in there with me. Let's see what happens. Did I kill my picture? No, I'm still there. Okay, so damn. Excuse that language. It's asking me for a little too much. A little too much that I'm going to do. Okay. So I'm going to have to go. Call that analog. Because I want to show the picture, mashallah, so I got to do it analog, and I'll be a little more technically equipped next time. So I need to print. Need to print something. I'm going to cancel that. Just going to print this picture. And yes, okay. We'll get it this way. So what I'm going to be showing you, what I'm going to be showing you when it finishes printing out is an image. And the image is of a tree, and also an artist's rendering of neural networks. Neural networks in the brain. Since it's a photo, it's taking a little more time. So it seems I didn't give permission to Chrome to be able to share on the platform, so therefore won't be able to show the picture inside the presentation itself. But let's go on to some ideas, since it takes pictures longer to print, and it's just, there's a lot of color in it. But let me go ahead and give you some verses that follow on what we're saying. 71:17. You should write these down, and those of you who are tracking to really own the subject matter, you need to put this in your notes, in your notebook, and follow the ideas that go along with them. 71:17, Surah Al-Baqarah 2:29, that is chapter 2, verse 29, and also chapter 41, 10 through 12. You know, I was, when we went to Malaysia, alhamdulillah, my printing is done, so I need to go to my printer and get it. Hang in there. When we went to Malaysia in 1997 with a group of excellent young people from the community of Imam Wahdi Muhammad, who are stellar folks. They were stellar then, but I mean, they are massive influencers now. I thank Allah to have been a part of that. But one of the places we went into, there was this chart. I mean, it was like a wall map, but it was a chart, it was a chart of the sciences of Al-Islam, It's like, the point is, you just look at the network of linkages and the different sciences, and I mean, it covered a very large portion of a wall. And there were so many of them that the type had to be so small that there's no way for you to read it standing at a distance. You had to get up and look at each one. And that convinced me, it was a very clear example. Hey, look, nobody knows everything, and nobody has mastered all the things that need to be mastered in and about Islam. And so therefore, and that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't want to stay here, but that's Allah just saying, listen, what I have revealed in this perfect way of life, in the Quran, in the model example of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no way for any one of you to know all of it. This is why I've made your sharing the knowledge and obligation, and you're seeking the knowledge and obligation, and you have to follow, to each is the goal to which he is turning, so strives in a race towards all his goods. You have to follow your impulses and your urges and your appetites. Talib is also appetite. You have to follow your appetite, and then you come up with from your appetite. Then you put that on the table with everybody else. And then everybody who comes to the table can eat from whatever is brought, right? It's like staying with the food analogy, right? Somebody might be great at making bread. Somebody else is great at making, you know, meat dishes. Somebody else is great at making salads. And somebody else is great at making, you know, vegetable entrees. And somebody else is, you know, great at this, that, the other, right? And then when you go outside of that, somebody has to grow it. Somebody has to do the animal husbandry and all the other things that need to be. And then somebody has to. So everybody makes a contribution in some part of the total banquet of life, as it were. So it's like you have to do what Allah orders you to do. And I guess I'm telling you, but that's what I do. I know that there's Allahu A'lam, there's no boast, but I'm just saying, it's like, there's some things that I would feel good if I were doing them better, but that's not that thing that gets me up and keeps me working on something for hours without getting tired. That's not that. So, okay, so enough editorial content, fine. All right, so here's my picture. This is the picture. Yeah, I'll try it back. Let's put it on this side, this way. All right. So this picture here, you know, everything is turned around backwards on camera. All right. So you see on the top, That's a picture of a shot from the ground up through a tree. Bring it a little bit closer. Okay? So that's a shot on the ground, from the ground up into a tree. The bottom picture is an artist's rendering of neurons and their connections. And what you see in that one that's right in front of you, it is extending out to billions of others like that. Because we have a longer conversation when we get there about how there are many more connections to functions for the internal aspects of the human being than there are relative to the external factors impacting the human being's life. Okay, so keep this picture in your mind. First thing to draw from that is the correlation, the analogy between what's in the mind and what's out there in the world. One on the bottom, that's what's in the brain / which gives birth to the mind. So these are the concrete aspects of the neural networks, the cognitive, neural patterns in the human brain. And that other one is the tree. Okay? All right. That's very important. So why is it important? Because the work of Shaitan, which we're speaking to, the Imam says that's what Satan actually did. He undermined the man's rational basis. He destroyed the man's rational basis by leading him to rational lies, right? So what is the correlation between the tree and the brain? So that's one of the first things that we need to make in order to get meaning that applies to our everyday existence, right? So when it says, approach not this tree, now we're into the verse in the Quran, right? And I believe the Bible is the same. The point is that approach not the tree. Now, we ended last week's broadcast, and if you listened this morning, you heard that repeated, that the tree is not a physical tree on the first and final order. It's not a physical tree. That tree is an abstraction. What do you mean an abstraction? It is the truth without details. It is a figure. It's figurative speech. It's figurative expression that is designed to, Doctor, I hope you don't get cut off. I'm trying to make an adjustment in this. if you hear any noise, it's other things going on in other parts of the house. My plan is not to cut you off, Blog Talk. You get cut off, I'm out. Get back on that phone and not say anything until you're back. Okay, hold on. All right. So we should be good. Let me check. So, Blog Talk, no problem. If you're having a problem, hear me. Well, I guess you wouldn't have a problem hearing me if you hear me. So I don't need to say anything. Logic is a funny thing. So, you know, the joke is, okay, if you can't hear me, push one. If you can hear me, there's no need to push one, right? So let's go on with what we're talking about. All right. So let's just walk. Let's walk slowly with just this idea. All right. So what I'm seeking to offer as an understanding, when Allah told Adam and his wife, approach not this tree, naturally for us, we figuratively hear a physical tree, and we see a physical tree, and we think about a physical tree. But alhamdulillah, Imam Muhammad, again, students of the Imam, the scripture uses figurative speech, figurative expressions to speak about things that are scientific, actual, and very real. That's an idea. That's something that you have to carry with you, just like a carpenter carries his tools. Wallahi, I'm telling you, I'm not being rhetorical. I'm saying to you, if you are serious about knowing and understanding in the way that Allah blessed Imam to tell us how to know and understand, that has to be, bring back the other word, axiomatic. Okay? That has to be axiomatic for you. It means like that's just like the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. You walk with that. And so whenever you read scripture, biblical, mythical, Quran, otherwise, you carry that tool. And if you need to pull that tool out, then pull that tool out. For what purpose? For the sake of understanding. What is that? For the ability to abstract, pull out, to draw out meaning, right? How many people are reading the stories of the Quran, but they are not abstracting meaning? It is meaningless to them. That's where the famine of hearing the word of the Lord is talked about in previous scripture, right? And the Quran is that which is to be read, right? That's food. We talk about food for thought. How do you get it? You have to know how to abstract. You have to know how to abstract it. And one of the ways to begin that abstraction is recognize that the physical thing that is talked about is not talking about the physical thing. The physical thing that comes to your mind conceptually, the physical thing is being used as a vehicle for meaning, as a vehicle for meaning. And so if it is true, as the Imam says, that scripture uses figurative speech, figurative expression to address things that are scientific, actually very real, well, then I'm saying to you that this hits that precisely. This image, this understanding that here's the physical tree that comes to a human mind when you read that scripture in the Quran, in the Bible, only thing can come to your mind is trees that you know, right? But then when you add to the idea what the Imam brought, it says this thing is speaking to something that is scientific, actual, and very real. So what is the scientific, actual, and very real thing that it's speaking to? The neural networks in the brain of the human being. The neural networks in the brain. And why is that important? Because it is his rational capacity that has to be developed in order for him to be protected from the harm that he can bring to himself by approaching creation improperly, and also be able to recognize the harm that Shaitan can bring into his life by undermining his rational abilities. Right? That's it. So we read from the seventh surah, ayah 201, and let's go ahead and go back to it. I'm trying to learn how not to be in a hurry. So let's go to that. Go back to that verse. We ended it with that last week, but I want to read it at this juncture to underscore the point right here. 7201, right? A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. 201, yes. إن الذين تقوا إذا مساهم طاعف من الشيطان تذكروا فإذا هم مبصرون. An expression of it is, surely those who have taqwa, we're working on, we just began a subject, taqwa in the game of life, this Friday, so much to be said. We'll continue on that with Allah's help and grace and mercy and guidance and all of it above. It says, taqwa, إِذَا مَسَاهُمْ, when they are touched by ta'ifum مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ, when they are touched by something that distracts them or that deludes them or that confuses them, when a thought comes into the mind that does that to them, it is from shaitan, تَذَكَّرُوا, they use their mind. ذِكْرُ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ, right? They use their mind, they think. This is what taqwa is. Thinking in the way that Allah would have you think, right? Paying attention, okay? تَذَكَّرُوا فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ, and then they see correctly. Then they see correctly. So when shaitan gives you a thought and that thought throws you off, things are now confused. So you don't see things clearly. This is, we have to talk about ghurur. We're not going to talk about it now. But you don't see things. And so, therefore, now you're walking around blind, confused. You're still acting in the world. And even illusions that have been, the illusions that get created by those kinds of thoughts, you can receive. And then most times, that's what it is. You're given a thought, and just the very thought itself caused you to start thinking in the wrong direction, start thinking in the wrong way. And when you think in the wrong way, think in the wrong direction, then you misperceive, you misconceive everything, you know, reality. You don't get it. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, approach not this tree, he's saying, don't think in a way that's contrary to the way that I have created you to think. Don't think in a way that does not conform to the way that I've taught. And Allah's way of teaching us to think, it's like some people in their limited way of thinking about that, they think that, you know, I'm a free thinker. You know, come on. Allah's the way that Allah wants you to think is the very way of freedom of thought, because that opens the way for thought to realize more of its fuller expanse, which is what we talked about. We spent a lot of time speaking from Iqbal's the reconstruction of religious thought. But the point is that let me put it this way, where it says that slavery to God is freedom from man. Slavery to God is freedom from man. So once you become ibadullah, once you become slave servant of Allah, once Allah becomes the source of your thinking, then no thoughts and ideas from men, no thoughts from men can enslave you, because that's real freedom of thought. You know how to protect yourself from the loss of your freedom of thought through your ability to think, which is nurtured by Rabbil Alameen, nurtured by the Lord of the systems of knowledge. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So let's just keep walking. So where are we at? All right, so I hope you can accept the correlation, the analogy, and the direction and the significance of the fact that the tree is actually talking about your mindset. It's talking about your mindset. Listen, you have the brain, and then the brain has all these neural connections, and it's learning that gives you your mind. Mind, difference between brain and mind, right? Brain, gray matter. Mind is what that gray matter, the use that it's put to by the choices that are made by the person. Information comes in, the person chooses, I like this, I don't like that. I do this, I don't do that. Then the brain patterns, the neural connections, right? These brain patterns get created from those choices. So the brain patterns of a neurosurgeon, the brain patterns of a lawyer, the brain pattern of an engineer, the brain pattern of a father, the brain patterns of a mother, the brain patterns of a teacher, et cetera, the brain patterns of a criminal, et cetera. They think in certain ways, and which in turn leads to their particular type of behavior. And so the idea is you have your brain, and then you have the mind that comes. Simple model, EVEDA, that we've given over the years. Environment, vocabulary, emotion, disposition, and actions. Not going to go through all of that right now. So the point is that approach not this tree means that don't seek to approximate in your thinking and in your behavior, and don't adapt, don't embrace, don't consume as a way of thinking, and in turn thereby a way of being that is disobedient to what Allah has ordered for you. When you obedience to what Allah has ordered, and this obedience, there's a dynamic relationship, meaning that some people have the limited idea about thinking obey means stay at home, make prayer, fast, you know, and you're going to be good with Allah. No. Allah wants us to grow. In fact, He created us to grow, right? Which now let's follow with the idea there specifically, 71:17. Okay, so I've already moved from the idea that when the Imam tells us that Satan undermines man's rational ability. Satan moved man from the man. When I say man, that's human beings. Moved man away from being focused on obedience to being focused on what they find attractive in the creation, without respect for obedience. Right? Every good thing that Allah Subhanahu wa Taala has created in our nature and in the environment itself has the potential for abuse, has the potential for harm. And we spent all the time talking about qadri wa khayrihi wa sharrihi min Allah Ta'ala. All right. So the idea is stay with obedience, but also grow. Stay with obedience, but also grow. This is a part of the real nature of life. It's always resolving those paradoxes. Right? Is it creation or is it evolution? It's both. Right? So in the same way, stay with obedience but grow. Stay with obedience but grow. How do you do that? And what are we talking about in growing? Well, since we know that the tree, given that you accept that, we know that the tree is the growth of intellect, is the growth of your capacity for thought, tazakkaru. The ability to think. Dhakir in nafa'ati dhikra. This is all in the Quran, right? So then once you move away from the physical tree aspect of it, and once you understand that it's about the movement of your cognitive capacity, it's the movement of your mental reality, right? It's the growth of the intellect. You know, hit this point to not lose it. وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَاهَا فَأَلْحَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ ذَكَاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَاهَا. That's 91:7-10, and so much to be unpacked inside of what we're saying, but you see the word taqwa in there, right? And you also see the word in there, you see the word enlightenment, فَأَلْحَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا أَلْحَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. One of the common interpretations with the all respect for and embracing fully Imam Muhammad's tafsir on fujur and taqwa. Have no issue, no problems there, but that's not the only thing in the context of what we're saying right now. Fujura wa taqwa is translated as potential harm and potential benefit, but now you have to get into the fujur and the taqwa to deal with, okay, how so? But that's next level. That's next level stuff. Fujur, fajr. fujur. Work with that. You know, the imam has explained it. That's not where I'm trying to stay right now. But it does have to do with the rising of the consciousness, doesn't it? It's a rising of the consciousness, and then you have Surah 113, Surah Al-Falaq. Falaq is also that dawn, right? But is it talking about the physical dawn? Yeah, it's talking about the physical dawn, but it's talking about the physical dawn as a symbol. Figurative speech, figurative expression, that is speaking to something that is scientific, actually very real. And it has to do with the human being as they grow in consciousness. And as you grow in consciousness, you are all right. You are all right. But then by the time you become 13 years old, you know, 11, 12, pre-adolescence, adolescence, et cetera, when you become mukallaf, okay, now there's a problem. The problem starts there. Right? Because before that, you are all under the rule of law and the book hasn't been written against you. But once you come into a certain level of consciousness, now you start getting merits and demerits. Fujuraha wa taqwaha. All right. So, and the idea that the soul already has all the answers, but we're unconscious of them, right? So, fujuraha wa taqwa. I'm only trying to get to where it says, قَدْ أَفْلَهَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَهَ أَفْلَهَ there's that too. أَفْلَهَ, talking about cultivation. And it also is giving us back to the metaphor of gardening. The metaphor of gardening. The big picture reality of us as human beings are we are like seeds that need to be cultivated. قَدْ أَفْلَهَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. And then the zakah, so you have inside of that word, zakah, you have growth, but you also have purity, right? Grow, but hold on to your purity. That's zakah. Grow, but hold on to your purity. And zakat, Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, the prophets don't take from the zakah, the Beit al-Mal, they don't take from the zakah. It says why? Because it is the impurities of the people. It is the impurities of the people. When you give the zakah from what you earned, when you give the zakah, that's for purification, right? Also, when you go to the bathroom, that's for purification. So there's a correlation between the waste matter of the believers and zakah. All right, so I make a joke of it, but it ain't funny. It's serious. You know, that's why the people don't pay zakat. You know what they're full of. They're full of, yeah, because they haven't got the waste matter from their material. And as a result, they remain full of what remains. But let's back up. So we're saying that you have to grow but maintain your purity. So that's in that statement, and that's in that central set of verses, 91, 7 through 10, about how it's supposed to happen. When you understand how it's supposed to happen, then that's said, this is the way to live, by the soul in the proportion and order given to it. And it's enlightenment as to what would benefit and what would harm. Blessed is the one who causes it to grow. Cursed is the one who neglects it. So this growth is a growth of awareness of your own nature, and your ability, use what evolves in you and out of you and from you for the benefit of yourself, your family, the community, the world. But you have to grow. But you have to grow in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered. Imam gives great teaching on the tree and the tree, how it grows up and it grows up straight and then it branches out, maintains the balance, all of that. All of this is creation-supported social logic, right? Creation-supported social logic. Listen, if you can kind of feel sometimes things are moving a little fast for you, then what you got to do, you have to make notes of, okay, I got to get back to that. I need to get clarification on that. Some things just have to push on, right? Because this way of reading is what the imam was and is inviting us to being more fluent in our reading of the signs and the symbols and the meanings that Allah has revealed. What Allah has revealed in these pictures, all right, what Allah has revealed in these ayahs is the It's coded. It is. I mean, it had to be coded in order for things to be put to pack in that truth. Okay, so it's easy to go out. For us, it's easy for it to go out and be transmitted, right? Okay, then when you get it, now you got to open up the package. You have to open up the package, and that is what reading is, right? And the reading is on the level of, okay, what's the abstract? What itself, the concrete thing is abstract. Anything concrete is also abstract. And because it's abstract, then that means that you have to go in and abstract from the abstract what's inside the code, the packaging. Don't trip on that word code. I'm thinking about it in pure communication terms. I ain't fucking whoever, Masons, Illuminati, whatever. It's just code, right? So whatever. I mean, it's like this code. Let's move on. Now, all right, so to the analogy between the tree and the neural patterns, right? Tree and the neural patterns, all right? So the shaitan piece, let me jump to something of the something toward the end so that you can see, you know, if you need, a little more of, you know, where it's going, right? All right. The jinn, somebody, I want you to hold on to 7117 because I got to get back to that. But the jinn, in the line of things that we talked about, the jinn, Iblis, Shaitan, the Tagut. So the Tagut is a big deal. Tagut is a big deal. So it's going to take some time to get there. We pray Allah bless us to do so. But there is a kind of schema that goes from, okay, jinn, Iblis was a jinn, and then Iblis disobeyed the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he became shaitan, right? But then when you read in the Quran, for example, even Suleiman, alayhi salatu wa salam, Suleiman used the shayateen. Shayateen, you have a plural of shaitan. You have that Solomon, he used them. Most times you have people translated as, I don't know, I think they translated as the evil ones, something like that. And we assume the jinn unless you read it. Then after that, now you have the Tagut. When you look at Surah 2, Ayat al-Kursi, 255, 256, big deal, the Tagut, out of the darkness into the light, et cetera. That's a big deal. And, of course, Imam Muhammad has a massive teaching on that. So that's where we're going. But now, step back hot second to the jinn, because jinn is like the beginning, right? So, and Allah says in the Quran, and the jinn we created before from a fire free from smoke. There's probably two or three references to what the jinn were made from. But we're just speaking to just one of them right now. The jinn we created before from a fire free from smoke, right? So you'd have to talk about before what? Before what? Right? And then you have to talk about the fire and the free from smoke. And I'm doing an abbreviated comment on it right now, and I just want to punch it, and then we go to the clarification inshallah with Allah's help and grace as we move further. The jinn is our undomesticated impulses. Our undomesticated impulses. Let's go back here. So you have this imagery. I gotta see what I'm showing. All right. So we have this imagery, right? So all of this depiction of it is, so you have this little likeness here, these little light, little flashes or what have you. Those are impulses. It's just signs of the electrical impulses that are going through over a network of trillions. I'm talking about inside of our brain and our body, this covers trillions, okay? Where do they come from? Where do those impulses come from? That's a part of the mystery of us. A part of the mystery of us is that those things don't just fire on their own, fire through thoughts that we have. So when you have, for example, fMRI, functional magnetic resonance imaging, right? So they hook a person up to the brain scan or what have you, and then they have the person sit there in front of pictures, right? And they show certain pictures, and a certain part of the brain opens up. They give them a math problem, another part of the brain opens up. They ask them to speak, another part of the brain opens up, right? That is, you get different coloration and different firings in different parts of the brain so as to see which parts of the brain are operating when certain things are being done. All right, similarly, you know, along with that, that's always happening. The point is you're just measuring it with the fMRI. The point is that, hey, you see a piece of chocolate cake, right? You see a big paycheck here, and, you know, all the other things that, you know, go up. And you also, you can have a thought. Yeah, man, wouldn't it be nice if blue, blue, blue? Yeah, that's nothing. You're just laying in bed, you're laying in the park or whatever. Yeah, oh, yeah, you know. Yeah, oh, you know what? I remember, man, my grandmama's house, man, it had blue, blue, blue. So if you had the fMRI. So the point is that this brain of ours, this network of ours, always firing, right? Now, here we go. Well, we got to go here. Yeah, clock's ticking. All right, so I'll just have to go ahead and make this kind of last comment. We know that there's no particular in sight right now, but here's a critical verse for what we're talking about. 4:119. I'm not going to take your time as far as the reading in the Arabic, but this is what Shaitan, 119th verse, he says, and I will, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, and I will mislead them, and I will arouse in them sinful desires. So this goes back to making disobedience attractive, right? Have you ever met any attractive disobedient invitations? Allah, business and otherwise. I know we only think in one direction first, but you can have some tempting business attractions, but you know it's disobedience if you follow that. Moving on. And I will mislead them, and I will arouse in them sinful desires, and I will command them so they will slit the ears of cattle, and I will command them so they will change the creation of Allah. You know where Allah says in Quran 30:30, لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ, don't change the pattern. You know what changes brain patterns? Learning. But if you approach the wrong tree, you're going to learn the wrong thing, and you're going to run into harm and problems. Okay? So Shaitan, he makes convincing forgeries of truth. So if you wind up leaning into his conversation, then he's going to teach you something that harms you, right? All right, so this is what he said. He said, and so they will change the creation of Allah. And then Allah goes on. All of this is Allah revealing. And he says, and Satan, and whoever takes Satan as an ally instead of Allah has certainly sustained a clear loss. Right? All right, so what's happening? Satan is what gets into your head and makes you think the wrong way. Isn't that short? That's abbreviated, right? He's the one that gets in your head and makes you think the wrong way, but you don't think it's the wrong way. He makes sinful deeds fair seeming. How does he do it? Rationalization. He puts together a lie package that if you ain't ready, if you can't see He's going to ta'ifum. He's going to have you wondering and wondering. So alhamdulillah, so we need Allah's protection so that shaitan doesn't undermine our mental apparatus, our intellectual apparatus. So we have to learn strong. We have to be strong about that. So since I'm not going to be able to go back to 71:17, we'll pick up. I'm making a note to myself right now. We'll pick up with the 71:17, inshallah, to do that. But before cutting off right now, I'll give you an opportunity to ask any question that inshallah, that may be useful to you and us, then feel free to do so. So 510-918, if you punched up for a question or a comment, I need you to punch out, punch back in, so I'm sure that it's not just an error in punching up. 510-918, if you have a comment, actually punch one, go out, and punch it again out, and I will check in with you, okay? But for now, I'm not going to open your line up. Because I'm just coming back into the studio and I'm just seeing it. That's all I'm going to say about that. Okay, so what do we have? Alhamdulillah. I know I'm not supposed to show prejudices, but my dear brother, Imam Eric, I'm going to go ahead and reply to what he said. He actually didn't put it in the form of a question, but he's so appropriate. I'm going to go ahead and do that. So 71:17. I'll give it to you, but let me see, make sure I have the right, looking at the right image. Yes. So I'm going to read the sentence, read the note, and this is going to be something of a preface for next week. 71:17. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Allah says, "Inna Allah anbatakum min al-ardi nabat." Allah says, "Surely He created you." Growing, surely Allah created you growing gradually from the earth like a plant. All right? So this brings us back to the idea, or it supports the idea, that our life is a plant life, right? That's the analogy for our existence is plant life. I hope you heard that. The analogy for our existence is plant life. Once you're there, then botany as an example and creation-supported sociologic, you have the ability to go into that. There's a whole world of what you should do in your life in order to grow, okay? Why? Because God said you grow like a plant, all right? Now, I mentioned three sets of verses. I want you to look at 71:17, 2, verse 29, 41, 10 through 12. I'm going to walk through 71:17 because there's a correlation between it and having all to do with the growth of your cognitive capacity, the growth of your quote-unquote brain, mind, and those skills that enable you to have an excellent life in this world, and yet in obedience to Allah, and indeed it's in service to Allah that you grow so that what Allah has for the human being by His grace in the creation itself, ikra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, and then in the later part of that verse where it says that Allah is wa rabbuka al-akram, and Allah is most generous. You have to learn how to read His creation. Let's move on. So 71:17, so it says, "Created you growing from the earth." What is the earth? The earth is the body and the brain. The earth is the body and the brain. Remember, the concretes are abstracts, and the abstracts are holding meaning, which you have to abstract from the abstracts the meanings that are there. The earth is a symbol of the human body, and the brain is a part of the human body, 7170. So Allah is growing gradually from the earth like a plant. And let me go ahead and say this. This, in my speaking of this, believe me, Allah pays me well, but I'll go ahead and say it anyway. It's like, look, I put this together so I can be off my mind and in a concrete form, Allah taught by the pen, right? And so this is something that can survive me. What I'm talking to you about right now is, in brief and quickly, is explained fully in my book, The Clear Path to Human Development, Human Science and Scripture Language, mashallah. Bitcoin folks, remember what I said. Growing from the earth. So the developments that we're talking about are developments that come out of the natural evolution and the God-guided and the God-submitted growth of the body and brain. 7117 explained that just the numbering there, the palindrome that those numbers are, is saying what I'm saying. But let's move on. Growing from earth like a plant, right? And so I showed the analogy. Tree is a plant, right? Well, this grows in a certain way, and this also grows analogously. This also grows in the same way. Your brain patterns grow like this grows, okay? Okay, question becomes, how does the tree grow? Oh, photosynthesis. Photosynthesis. And what is photosynthesis? Photosynthesis is a process, right? But it is also abstract. Abstract. It's abstract when you understand that the laws and the rules and the principles operating in creation, they are the grammar of reality. Iqbal, he said it. I think he said it better than what I just said. He says that the laws of nature are the garments of reality. The laws of nature are the garments of reality. So if you really want to know what the nature of reality is, then you have to understand the laws of nature. And so if I grow like a plant and plants grow by photosynthesis, I need to find out what in me is like photosynthesis in the plant. What in me is like photosynthesis in the plant? And what in me that is like photosynthesis in the plant is the ability to read signs. Photo is picture. Synthesis has to do with making a correlation between two things. There are two things that were separated, and then you bring those things together. Same thing in interpretation. Actually, break that word down. I'm not doing it right now. We'll do more of it next week. Go look into that word, interpreterate. You'll find that it's talking about the connection between things, right? So photosynthesis, the ability to bring the analogy, in the ability to bring the correlation, the ability to understand the correlation, the ability to abstract meaning from things that don't seem connected, right? And are quote unquote not connected necessarily in a concrete way, but they are connected in the scheme of what is universal. So just like this, I mean, literally, that's what this was an act of photosynthesis. My conversation about the tree and about the brain pattern hit. What is this? Photos. These are photos. Synthesis. How do these two things go together? Meaning, what do they mean? They're similar, but what does that similarity mean? Well, that's photosynthesis. Photosynthesis is when you understand it. Now that can become food for your mind. That becomes food for your mind. So if your mind consumes that food, i.e. that meaning, i.e. the significance of it, now it provides an energy, it provides a spirit, it provides an enlightenment. Photosynthesis, it's using the light of the sun to nourish and drive. That's energy. Food and energy comes from that photosynthesis process. So when Allah says, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, read in the name of your guardian Baba who created, then when you read, that means you are abstracting from the food in the imagery, the laws, the things that Allah has created, and then especially by his grace, what he revealed in the Quran is that, look, I'm telling you what it means. Here, this is what the sun means. This is what the earth means. This is what the tree means. And this is how it relates to you. It's there, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to He said, Allah has to allow you to understand it. Allah has to reveal, literally reveal to you his revelation. Allah knows best. Okay, so photosynthesis, and it goes further. Knowing how, inshallah, knowing how, brother and sister, when you look up into the night sky, and you're not an astronomer, you look up into the night sky, clear night sky, you see, it's going to strike you first, inshallah, it strikes you as beautiful. It's just beautiful. Okay, but then beyond beauty, what does it mean? Beyond beauty, what does it mean? What is it telling you, right? So you, until you can abstract the meaning from what you see as beautiful, then all you do is enjoy it, and as wonderful as that is, you just enjoy the beauty. But if you don't know how to get the signal from what seems to be disorder, it's not lined like a building or something like that. It's just there. But there's information in there. Well, you got to be able to discover the information that's in what seems to not have any order. And that's going back to, or that brings you to the idea of Allah, you know, he created the creation and it was as a smoke. And then he said to the earth and to the heavens, come ye together, willingly or unwillingly. That's talking about what we're talking about. That's talking about being able to look at the universe, get meaning from it, translate it into your life in the world, and that's how thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. It's going to take us a couple of steps to walk through, okay, the latter steps, L-A-T-T-E-R, no, L-A-D-D-E-R, to get there, mashallah. So, alhamdulillah, so that's what it is today. All right, Brother Imam, I know we said a lot. I need your cooperation to let's be concise. Welcome. Assalamu alaikum. Hold on. Hold on just a second. Okay, go ahead. I think I got you now. Imam? Imam Asmar. I got your mic open, but I'm not hearing you. Check and see if you're muted.
Assalamu alaikum.
There you go. Alaykum assalam.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaykum assalam. We're listening.
Oh, okay. No, I'm not. Oh, okay. That's a recording.
No, I okay. Hear you.
All right, okay.
If there just seems to be a long delay.
Yes, it's a good.
So I'm going to shut up. You're going to make your comment, and we're going to end. Go ahead. Imam, there's too much of a delay right now. You know, I love you. Are we gonna have to,
Brother Imam?
One more time.
Okay. It's a delay. It's delayed.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's too much, Imam. I'm going to have to go. Yeah, so by the time you hear this, I will have cut off. I love you. We're going to get it together next time. Assalamu alaikum. So sorry, Imam Asma, a very, very studious and insightful individual in that matter. So for as far as the book is concerned, I believe you can just go to clearunderstanding.institute, and you can find the link for the book there. And also you can go to Amazon.com and have that as well. So I thank everybody for your time and attention. Inshallah, some of you will be seeing and speaking to tomorrow on Wealth Creation Preservation with me and my co-host, Kamila Mahasin Bilali and Shuaib. Everybody have a wonderful day. Allah's peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.